very familiar scripture. It said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy." He said, "I come that they might have life and have it, that they might have it more abundantly." In other words, Jesus said, "I come to give you life and give it to you abundantly, abundant life." But the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He come to cut you off from life. See, the difference from life and death, I mean, they're diametrically opposed. It's either life or death. The devil represents death. God represents life. But who remembers that when God breathed into the life of Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. But you know, when he breathed into Adam, he breathed his life into Adam. The very life that God had, he breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. He became alive, and he had the life of God because he had the breath of God. He had received eternal life into him from the breath of God. And it wasn't just a life, it wasn't just like he just had life, he had eternal life. He had a life that had always been and would always be. He received the eternal life of God into him when God breathed into him. But then when the serpent came into the garden, the first thing he done was God told him, he said, "You can eat of every tree of the garden, but he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of, you're going to die." God told him, he said, "You can eat all you want to of the tree of life." How many knows that, I mean, sometimes it seems almost too good to be true. That I remember when I first got saved and I was just loving God and going to church and reading the Bible and praying, and I loved to go to church. And I remember I was sitting in church and I said, "I love this. This is so good." And I thought, there must be something wrong because I like it so good. You know, and it's like, and it was like, I loved it, and it was like, in the back of my mind, I always kind of equated God with being boring and going to church and being in church and wishing you wasn't there and all this kind of stuff. You know, it was like I had this mentality of that. And so when I started realizing that it wasn't that way, that God wanted me to enjoy life. He wanted me to experience the fullness of this life. And I didn't realize it, but I had a revelation about it. And I started realizing that God wanted me to experience life, his life. But when man ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he was operating out of the nature of life. Life is a nature. The life of God is a nature. And he was operating out of that life, and then all at once the serpent beguiles Eve into eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam partakes of the tree also. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, it's like the knowledge, serving God by knowledge rather than by life. See, there's a difference. There's a difference between serving God out of life, life nature, than there is in serving God out of knowledge in your head. See, you can have a knowledge of God. You can know about the things of God. You can say, "Oh, I know that." You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's a backslider, and he totally went backwards on God, and he was telling me, he said, "I know more than people in church." He said, "I know the Bible better than 90% of the people in church, and blah, 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 and I know this and I know that." But you know what? He wouldn't live in it. He wouldn't live in this life. He was only partaking of it in his head, and he was not a partaker of it. And because of it, he was going further and further out into the world and going downhill fast. Why? Because he thought he equated knowledge with life. And there's a difference between knowledge and life. You know, life, God wants us to enjoy the life, his life, the things of God. See, I think that we don't enjoy it enough. You know, people used to get happy in church, and they start laughing and get happy. They'd get so happy in church. I used to have a great uncle, and when he'd come to church and he'd take an offering up, he'd be walking around taking an offering, laughing while he was taking an offering up. And it was a holy laughter. But it was like it would just get off on everybody in the building, you know. And it was just the joy of the Lord would come up out of him and he'd start laughing because of this life that was inside of him. But see, Jesus said, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And so when he died on the cross, see, the thing that was keeping man from enjoying life and experiencing life was sin. It was because the sin nature had come into the mankind and it corrupted the seed of God. It corrupted the Spirit of God from working in man, because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They come short of the purpose that God created man for. Man was to be a reflection of God. And so when man sinned, he lost that image of God, and he began to become, the Bible said he began to go after the beast and all the things of the world. He went downhill quick, in other words, a beastly nature. And Jesus came to redeem man back to God and to bring life back, because, see, when you go after flesh and you live according to flesh and sin, the sin nature, it takes away life. See, I remember I used to tell people that I used to think life was a case of beer, a bag of pot, and a good-looking woman. You know, I thought, man, I got it made tonight. But then when I got saved, I said, my best day in sin was like my worst day as a Christian. The joy of the Lord was so much better. You know, I didn't have the guilt. I didn't have the fear. I didn't have all the things that was in my life. I didn't have all the bad, the curses that was operating in my life. Because, see, sin has curses. Sin will cause curses to come in your life and cause you to be, bad things to happen in your life, to where everything you set your hand to will just blow up in your face. People used to tell me, they'd say, Bradley, you're the most unlucky person I've ever seen. It'd be 1,000 people in town, you're the only one that goes to jail. You know, and it was like, why does this keep happening to me? You know, it was like, why do these things, you know, I'm not the bad guy, and here I'm in jail again. You know, and it was like, but I couldn't figure it out why, but I got saved when I was 18 and served God for about a year, and backslid. Went back into sin again, and when I went back into sin, I seen my life just take a nosedive. I mean, I started getting put in jail. I started having to pay fines. I started having to do all this stuff, and you know, and just a lot of bad things started happening in my life. And then when I come back to God, it was like everything just turned around. And instead of me being unlucky, instead of all these bad things happening to me, all at once good things started happening to me. And it was like the blessing of God began to come into my life. And I started seeing God give me revelation knowledge in His Word and begin to reveal things to me and the life of God. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. How many knows that when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, He breathed the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God into Adam. But you know, on the day of Pentecost, it said when they were all together in one place and in one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And you know what I believe it was? I believe it was God breathing. He just blowed on them, and the life of God went into them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues. But see, Jesus came to fix it so we could have eternal life, so we could enjoy life without the sin destroying life. And so the more that we cooperate with this life on the inside of us, the more that the joy of the Lord's going to be in us, the more the blessing of God's going to be there, the more abundant life's going to be in our life, the more we give into it. But see, the devil tries to deceive people into thinking that you can halfway serve God and halfway have one foot in the world and enjoy the world and enjoy the things of God at the same time. And what it does, it corrupts it. And it does, you can't enjoy, you can't be blessed. You can't have the blessings of God flooding your soul while one foot's in the world doing all the things that the people in the world do. And then on the other hand, say, you know, I'm cool, I'm in the world, but I'm in God too. I'm a... what do they call them people that they can use the right hand or left hand? It don't matter which one. Huh? Yeah, ambidextrous. It's like some people think they're ambidextrous spiritually. You know, it's like I can be in the world and I can be in church too. I'm right or left. But we can't. It messes you up. But see, the thing of it is, when you start tasting and seeing how good the Lord is, it makes you want more of it. When I got saved and got up from that altar that day, I was born again. I was changed instantly. And when I got up from there, I said, all I want is more of this. I mean, I thought I'd done some good drugs, but this is the best drug I ever had. And I started telling all my friends, I said, man, I found something that's good. And this is, y'all need to try it. And they said, what is it? And I said, it's church. And it's like, what? I said, yeah, let's go to church Sunday. And I ain't going to church with you. I talked one or two into going, but that's about it. But they run from me. They'd lock their doors when they'd see me coming. They'd pull their curtains down and pretend like they wasn't home. You know, but see, the thing of it was, I got a taste of the life of God, and it was so good that I said, I got to have some more of it. I want more of this life. And there is no limit on how much you can have. You can eat all of God you want. You can have all the life of God you can take in. There's no, God don't say, okay, you've had enough. You're too spiritual. You know, you can have all you want of God. You can have all. Did you know that love is the nature of God? Did you know that the more that you walk in the love of God, the more you're walking in this life? See, this life is blessed. The life of Jesus is a blessed life. The more you walk in the life of Jesus, the more blessed you will be. The less you walk in it, the less you will be blessed. And so whatever hinders this life from operating in us and flowing through us is not from God, it's from the devil. Whatever causes you to not love people is from the devil. Whatever causes you to hold back and have grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred in your heart, it's your enemy. It's destroying you. It's not destroying somebody else. It's destroying you. See, because whatever doesn't let us stay in harmony with this life that's on the inside of us is taking us from God. And so you can't allow yourself to have unforgiveness or bitterness or anger and resentment and things in your heart, because people are going to do things to you. The devil will send somebody your way that rub you the wrong way. He'll call somebody to talk about you. He'll call somebody to do you wrong or whatever, because he knows what buttons to mash in your life to make you mad. He knows where your button is. And so the more that we operate, you know, if somebody says, well, I'm right with God. Or we ask somebody, say, are you right with God? But you know what it means to be right with God? It means that you are in harmony with His nature. It means you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It means that you are walking in obedience with Him. You know, I can be saved, but if I'm not walking in harmony with this life, I'm not in the right spirit. See, I'm not. You can be a Christian and be in a wrong spirit. But if you're walking in this life, and see, one of the things I found out over the years is every time that I would start getting away from God, God would always bring me back to love. He'd always bring me back and say, I want you to love me with all your heart and all your soul, and I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And when I start doing that, it's like it would just kind of pull me back in line. Because somehow or another, it was all rooted in love and faith. The Bible says, be rooted in faith and love that you might be able to know the depth of God, the height of God, and the width of God. So you got to be, if we're going to walk in this life, if we want to enjoy this life, we have to be rooted in love. We have to be rooted in unforgiveness and mercy and grace. Because the times in my life that I've experienced some of the greatest moves of God before, there would be an overwhelming love of God that would rise up in my heart. And if you don't know the love of God, you have to start pressing toward it. You know, it's you have to, because if you don't, you're not going to know the fullness of God. But God is a God of love. God is a God of faith. He's a God of peace. He's a God of joy. And the Bible said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Did you know that there's joy when you obey God? When you obey this life, when this life tells you to get up and pray and you get up and pray, there's a joy that comes from obeying God. When God tells you to sow a seed and give to somebody and you do it, there's a joy that comes from obeying God. And so they're just, you know, there's no better feeling than to know that you're right with God. To know that if you died today, that heaven would be your home. You know, that you ain't got no grudges, you ain't got no bitterness. You know, people that gets angry in a split second, you know, God wants to deal with you about that, because the devil will use that against you. If you lose your temper just instantly, you can't control it, the devil's going to control you, because he's going to keep you mad. He's going to keep punching your buttons. And so you've got to get to the place where you say, Lord, I want to die to this anger. I want to die to this bitterness and this unforgiveness in my life. Because usually there's some kind of bitterness or something there when you fly angry instantly, quickly. You know, he's dealt with me over the years, and I never was a real angry person. But when I got angry, I was angry. But he dealt with me in other areas. But still, he dealt with me about anger. And because, you know, sometimes you be working with people and they'll rub you the wrong way, say stuff to you, make you mad. And the Lord, and that's why it's so good to be in communion with God, because he knows what's fixing to happen. And, you know, and I went to work one morning and I was praying on the way to work, and the Lord's quickened to me and he said, I want you to agree with your adversaries quickly today. And usually I'd get in an argument with them right at the first thing in the morning, before we ever even cranked equipment up. I mean, not an argument, but they'd say something to me, cutting me down, and I'd come back with some kind of spiritual cut down on them. And so they'd come in and they started saying some bad stuff, said, you're probably this, you're probably that. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. I said, yeah, you're right. Because God said, agree with your adversaries. So I just started to agree with everything they said. Even though I didn't even feel like it was true, I just agreed with them. Well, when I did, it was like I slapped them in the face, and they just like, what? You ain't going to argue with us? You ain't going to put up a fight? And so at dinner time, we were sitting there eating lunch, and all at once, there's about 10 guys sitting there, and all at once, one of them says, you know, Brad, he's a pretty good old guy. And then another guy over here, he said, yeah, Brad, he's a pretty good old guy. And then this other guy, Brad's a pretty good old guy. I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? This is like the Twilight Zone, because usually at dinner time, they was roasting me. You know, and here they was all, every one of them was like, Brad's a good guy, this is a good guy, he done this, he done it. I'm sitting there and I said, Lord, I should have been doing this a long time ago. But anyhow, when I would get angry and lash out at some of them, all it did was just throw fuel on the fire. They'd just keep on agging me and prodding me and everything else. But see, sometimes you just got to do what God tells you. Not sometimes, but always you got to obey God. But anyways, let me get back to life here. In John chapter 14, John chapter 1, not 14. In verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But notice it said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You hear people say, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, what that's talking about is the life of God. The life of God on the inside of you is the light. If we let His life flow through us, then His light's going to come out through us. Glory to God. Look with me to how many remembers the story of Moses when he went in to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he told them, he said, put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of the house. And he said, when the death angel sees the blood, he'll pass over. But you know that the blood of the lamb was from an innocent lamb. The blood of that animal represented its life, because the Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so whenever the angel looked down and he saw that blood, he didn't see blood, he saw the life of the lamb. Okay? Stick with me here. How many knows Jesus is that lamb? And we're talking about His life right now in us. When that death angel saw the blood, the blood represented the life of the lamb. It was a representation. So when he saw the blood, he saw the life of the lamb, and he passed over. Whenever the death angel passes through, there's going to come some things in the future. In the book of Revelation, it talks about things that's going to happen in the future. And it talks about people that don't have the mark of the name of God and things like this on them. But His life is what's going to cause you to escape the wrath of God. Whenever He sees His life in you, it passes over. In Romans chapter 5, I want you to see this. People says, well, how are we going to escape the tribulation period? His life. His life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, or verse 9, it says, in verse 8, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled by God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Notice that. We shall be saved by His life. The wrath of God, if you don't want the wrath of God in your life, especially in these end times, because how many knows the wrath of God's coming to this world? The way you're going to escape the wrath of God is to just have abundant life. If you have abundant life, if you have the life of this Lamb living in you, when the plagues come, they won't touch you. When they see the blood, they say, don't touch them. In the book of Revelation, there's a scripture that says that the people cursed the name of God which had power over the plagues. And I was thinking about that. I thought, well, how would they know the name of God had power over the plagues unless they saw some people that the plagues didn't affect? But the thing of it is, it's in His life. When you got the Holy Ghost, you know what? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, the life of God comes up in your spirit. It starts flooding your soul. When you start praising God and you're singing praises in church, the Spirit of God rises up inside of you. See, this life, the more we get this life steered up, I mean, if you get it steered up, it'll influence you. How many knows we're influential people? We're easily influenced. And as a matter of fact, if you're drinking alcohol and they pull you over, they'll arrest you for being under the influence of alcohol, because alcohol influences you. We're influenced all the time, either by good or evil. You're being influenced right now You're either being influenced by God or you're being influenced by the devil. You know, the either thoughts going through your mind, say, I don't listen to that preacher. He don't know what he's talking about. Or then there's another spirit that's saying, you need to listen to him. See, and it's like you're being influenced. There's an influence in our life all the time. And so we have to be careful what's influencing us. Is it the Holy Ghost or is it the flesh or is it the world? Is it, you know, because, you know, that's the reason drugs and alcohol are so bad, because they influence you. When you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, you make decisions that's not right. You do dumb things. You know, I used to do a lot of dumb things. And because I was influenced by something that wasn't from God. And so, but see, when the more that we can put ourselves in a position to where we receive the Spirit of God, we listen to preaching tapes. I mean, I used to, and I was sitting there thinking about it a while ago. I thought, you know, I think I'm going to go back and see if I can find some of them old Schaumbach tapes I used to have. Because I used to be at work, and I'd turn old Schaumbach on the radio every day at about 12 o'clock. He'd come on, and I'd hear him start preaching. And by the time he went off, I was like, where's the devil at? I'm not scared of the devil. You know, and it was like there was an influence that this man, when I heard his preaching, something on the inside of me would just start rising up. The life of God would get stirred up. And you know, when you hear somebody testify about how God healed them and things, miracles, it influences you. See, we need influence. We need to be influenced on purpose. We need to put ourselves in a position of where we're influenced by good. You know, the reason the devil don't want you to go to church, he don't want you to be influenced. He wants you to stay at home and close the curtains and watch TV and watch depressing shows and listen to whiny music and stuff like this, you know. He wants to influence you for depression. But God wants to influence you for joy. In Revelation chapter 12, it said, and they overcame him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. And you know what? What did we just read about? The blood of the Lamb represented the life of the Lamb. So in Revelation 12, when it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, they overcame him by the life of the Lamb. They overcome the devil by the life of the Lamb, and how many knows that life influences your vocabulary? Brother Scotty said it a while ago. He likes to confess the Word of God. And see, the Spirit of God, it said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. And you say, well, see, they died. That was terrible. They got martyred or something. No, I don't think that's what that word means there. I think when it said they loved not their life unto the death, I think it's talking about they died to self. They died to flesh. Because you think about it, if you're operating in the life of God, you're letting it affect your vocabulary, and then you die to flesh, you're going to overcome the devil. See, and that's what they did. See, what we got to resist the influences in our life that tries to influence you the wrong way. I mean, you might have friends that try to influence you the wrong way. I mean, good advice is good, but bad advice is bad. A few months ago, there was somebody, I was fixing to make a bad decision, and I talked to somebody, and all at once, they gave me good advice. And when it did, it saved me some money and it saved me some troubles and things. And I thought, man, good advice is good. But if somebody gives you bad advice and you listen to them, it's bad. And so you have to be careful about who you listen to. Because the devil will use people to try to influence you. You know, and it's without the Spirit of God influencing our life, the best you can do is just be religious. If God's not influencing you and you're just going through the motions and going to church and you don't really have the influence of God, then you'll only last for so long and you'll start wearing down and down and down until eventually you'll fall on your face. But when God's influencing you, You can go forever and ever because he is eternal. Glory to God. And his life is flowing through us. But we have to make sure that we're letting his life live through us. And like I said, one of the ways that you can steer it up is when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You're praying in the Holy Ghost, it steers up this life. When you're singing praises to God while you're by yourself, just the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And, you know, and there used to be this strange thing that would happen to me, that I would start focusing on God. It's like I would just start trying to get more and more of God in my life. And because I was praying, fasting, reading, meditating on the Word of God and listening to tapes, and I just start getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And it was like I thought, man, this is great. This is great. And then all at once, right in the middle of it, I'd just stop and just go off into nowhere, just go out here and start doing something crazy. And I think, why did I do that for? I was being blessed so good and everything was going so great. Why would all at once I just stop and go over here and start doing something that was taken away from what had just had attained to? And then I realized there's a principle there, that whenever you're really growing in God, the enemy's going to come and try to get you to make a turn. He's going to try to get you to go a different direction, because he knows if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to be really blessed. You're going to have the life of God flowing through you. The reason I'm saying this is just be mindful that when you start really doing good and God really starts blessing you, that's when the devil's going to come to try to get you to take a sidestep. You know, it won't hurt just to go do this one thing, and then you go do that one thing and it takes you away forever. You know, it'll lead you off in another direction. But anyways, the life of God is what God wants us to walk in. What brings life? First of all, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Secondly, repenting of sin and walking in obedience to God. Walking in the love of God toward man and toward God. Walking in the revelation of God that God has given you. Not living after fleshly lust, fellowshipping with other believers in church, preaching the word, hearing the word, receiving the word. All these things steers up this life on the inside of you. And whatever, some people get steered up more than others. Some people get steered up more by music. Some other people get steered up more by preaching. Whatever that you like that steers up the life of God, just have at it. I mean, take all you can take. Don't say, oh, I've had too much of this stuff. I've been going to church too much. I need to stay out of church for about a month. I've been going too long. No, you don't. You need more of it. You don't need less. You need more. Glory to God. How many loves the Lord tonight? Glory to God. Let's pray.